Hello and welcome to Rockstar's brand new podcast series, FinTechcellent, the podcast series designed to give quick 15-minute bite-sized insights from excellent fintech leaders, fintech companies and brands. Our guests range from unicorns through to seed startups and new concepts. This is now the 8th FinTechcellent podcast recording in the series, so I am truly delighted to be speaking today with Rupert Barksfield. Rupert has over 15 years of experience in the tech industry, spanning fintech, medtech, and event tech, with a broad understanding of many verticals. He's known as an expert problem solver who is never satisfied with a no or can't when it comes to finding improvements and new ways of doing things. Therefore, Rupert is versatile and can be described as a disruptor, advisor, board member, investor, writer, speaker, and a rock star in his field. He's currently the COO at Pynk, P-Y-N-K. Pynk is a social investment platform and is believed to be the world's first crowd wisdom 0% fee managed portfolio, allowing contributors to grow their wealth, financial understanding, and confidence. By using crowd wisdom and AI to beat the market and shape a fairer future for all. Pynk is now receiving a lot of recognition, multiple awards, and was recently crowned the winner of the FinTech Pitch Off at London Tech Week with a truly awesome pitch video that we'll make available next to this video. So with that said, a warm hello and welcome to you today, Rupert, and thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you very much for having me and representing Pynk on your show. It's really it's a great pleasure. Thanks, Craig.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. And before we dive right into the broadcast, Rupert, what I'd like to ask you is, where in the world are you today? And what colour socks are you wearing right now?
Well, being at the end of the lockdown, I'm still in the shed. So I'm very fortunate that I live in West London. And at the end of my garden, I've got a shed. And that is where I've been living now pretty much for the last few months, as my the whole operational side of Pynk has now moved into this as my office. So you've got the man shed, and socks wise, you've got a good set today. I've got the Duchamp. They are geodesic pink and blue pattern, and I don't think they've got too many holes. No, they are wearing through. Yeah, definitely wearing through.
Duchamp, I think that's quite flamboyant, and I wouldn't expect anything less. I think you came prepared today, Rupert. That's great.
I didn't know I was getting this question, I'm going to be honest.
You didn't, I know.
It was luck that I got that. But I've got a thing about socks. So I get socks every Christmas. Like, I'm a dad, so like most people do. But I figure, like, if you're getting it as a present, you kind of want to get something that you're not going to buy yourself. So I say, to my mother or my wife, and I say, look, just buy one pair of socks, buy a nice pair of socks. And that's, these are Christmas socks. So you've got the special ones on today.
Wow, we do feel special, and we're gifted to have you today, Rupert. So thanks for joining us once again. So in terms of your history, your background, can you tell us what's your story, who you are, and how did you arrive in fintech?
It kind of almost depends on how far you want to go back, Craig. Kind of going back to school days, I was always going to be an entrepreneur. I was known for getting things and being able to make a deal with my colleagues, with teachers, with further schools from a very, very young age. In fact, I started importing cigarettes from the Czech Republic to sell in my school. And that was my kind of first entrepreneurial act. And the main reason I did it was, I just thought it would make me cool. That was the driver for it. There's no kind of cleverness about it, but it just turned out I was particularly good. At the time it was the not the dawn of the internet, but it was the very early days of e-commerce. People didn't know how to order them from abroad and that sort of stuff, and I found a good link, and it was easy for me to buy them, and I did. And And that business grew, and then I got a big tax bill, and that pretty much stopped it.
As it does.
But then, after that, I got, you guys are rock star search. I actually got involved with drumming, and music was my passion at the time, and that led me into, in my early 20s, I was in events, and I started off in kind of more rock and roll, and I quickly moved over into corporate events. And in corporate events, I found my first startup or digital client, and that was Android, the mobile phone operating system. So I was very, very fortunate that they had just been acquired by Google. My client at the agency I was working at was Google, and there was this kind of fly or wasp going around of Google that they wanted to get rid of. So they gave it to the young guy in the office, and they gave me Android, which at the time hadn't been released. And we went from 0% of the mobile phone market when I had the account start. And after 3 years, we owned 62% of the mobile phone market. And it was just enormous. This is pre-apps, you got to remember.
Wow, this is phenomenal, isn't it? Because this is right back in the day, really, before it all started, almost.
Absolutely, yeah. And it was I think the iPhone had just been released, so people had just got their heads around the idea of a touchscreen phone. And if you remember back then, the idea of using touchscreen to type with was just almost unheard of, because any other app product out there was so appalling. Apple came in, they totally changed that idea. Android came around saying, hey, we're going to open this up to everybody. And I was able to run their marketing and their events across the whole of Europe. And during that process, I got really into app building, because we had to display how this product worked. And I then got taken on a different agency, and I had to grow them up to be acquired. During that acquisition process, I moved to New York to help them open up the office over there. And then at the end of that, I was just done. I was burnt out. Being burnt out, the best thing to do is to start your own business, right? So that was my first digital agency I started, grew them up, very, very quickly, and out of that created an ad tech product, which we then sold in late 2017. Yeah, 2016 into 2017. And then from kind of 2017 into 2018, I was looking for something else. And at the time, crypto was growing like crazy, and the excitement around crypto really caught my attention. And it was people that resonated with me. It was tended to be more people that were on the outskirts and more geeky. And I just really liked the community and the opportunity to change how the financial system worked. And that's what really gripped me into fintech. And mainly because I was confused. I didn't know how, the financial services industry really worked. I mean, I've done well at making money, but in terms of managing that, saving that, I'm just shooting in the dark,
So where that's a great background, Rupert, and thank you so much. It's a unique and industry story, and I'm sure our listeners can see where all this is heading now from where you started. But how is that now taking you into today, and what is your role today, and maybe the biggest lesson you've learned along the way to get to where you are now in your career today?
So as you can, saying with the story, that really then led me into Pink. So early 2018, I joined the Founder Institute Accelerator. I met my now co-founder, Seth, and Seth had the real core idea for Pink. And Pink is really about taking effectively a traditional hedge fund and giving the power of the control of that hedge fund back to the people. So the basic issue that we're trying to cover off here is that if you give responsibility of managing a portfolio to somebody who has no idea about the financial industry, they can make a huge mistake. And there's a good example of that. And unfortunately, it's a very sad story. Alex Kearns, age 20, in June of this year, very sadly committed suicide. And he did so because he ran up debts of over $750,000 on Robinhood, or what he thought were debts of $750,000. And in that instance, he couldn't work his way out. Now, why a 20-year-old was ever given a credit line of that is irreprehensible in the first place. In any case, it's education that's driven it to this point. So what we thought was, well, if you've got one person, they've got ideas about how their portfolio should be managed. And so is everybody else. So why don't we combine all of those ideas together and build a system to just decide who to work with and who not to, so that everybody gets a portfolio that works the best. That's principally what Pink's idea was. Now, it's taken us a huge long time to get from 2018 to now, but we're now here, and we are finally releasing at the end of this year the investment wallet for everyday people. And it's been a very exciting kind of journey. So my role is COO. I'm really here to execute the vision of the CEO. However, I do everything. You know, there's no job too small. There's no job too big. In a startup, you have to.
Yeah. I think a lot of people can resonate with that in a similar situation. So what would you say, Rupert, is the number one unique single thing about Pink then that makes you different to all the other fintechs out there?
Well, it really is that collaboratively working together to better not only yourself, but everybody else. You know, we truly believe in unity and the ability that everybody can work together in pockets. You know, we're not telling you to divulge all of your information to everybody. Like, what we're trying to do is just put it into one central point, and then that will make a system work better for everybody. And it crosses the whole financial system. So the data that our users collect, we use that to sell to other hedge funds so they can get better performing portfolios. But equally, we use it to manage our own portfolio to make that better for everybody.
And your AI is something called Rose, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so we named her sort of last year because it was becoming more of an entity in itself. It's our core IP, I suppose.
Yeah.
And she takes a lot of attending to, but she's getting better and better every day.
She sounds like a flower.
Yeah. I mean, Rose, obviously being pink in color, it worked. It worked in the whole kind of brand ethos, but we'll probably have other AIs with other flower type names in the future.
Right, something to look forward to as well. So that brings us nicely into what I wanted to ask you next, Rupert. In terms of innovation trends, what do you think is next, and where do you see the tech and the innovation itself heading in your segment in the future?
So it's interesting. I mean, fintech as a whole, I actually think that we are at the end of the fintech revolution, and we're on to what I now call fintech 2.0. It is not enough to just replicate an old existing system online. That's what fintech 1.0 was all about. So taking those archaic systems and bringing them up to date. So that's why you've got Revolut to Barclays or what was the older version of what it was before. But they're no real difference. The model's not different from running a bank. And yes, there's going to be other ways that they monetize those users, but ultimately, it's just a digital version of a traditional brick and mortar bank. now with FinTech 2.0, we have to change things up. We have to make it better for people. We have to do it entirely differently than the brick and mortars have done it. So there's going to be a lot more of angsty and more disruptive products coming through over the next few years. I also see the end of, I hopefully see the kind of end of the high street bank and going into more niche banks that support you as an individual. So what I mean by that is that anybody can go and start themselves a bank now. I mean, with Rails Bank, Manigo, Wirecard, all of these different providers allow you to start up a bank pretty much in a week. And what that means is that you'll get local community banks again. It's almost like the Wild West, where you'll know the bank manager and you'll know, you know, what they can do for you and what they can't. And I think that that's going to be amazing, getting back to that community vibe, all with a very digital layer.
So it's almost going full circle, in your opinion.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, those communities are different now. They're not a localized based community necessarily. It can be a skills based. So there'll be a bank for carpenters and a bank for electricians, for example, that will really understand. Yeah, will understand the issues being an electrician and build products specifically for those guys.
Interesting. It'd be great to see where this goes in the future if we had a crystal ball, but some great concepts, ideas there coming through. So the next thing I wanted to ask you, Rupert, and thank you again for the insights so far. It's really fascinating what you've been telling us today and our listeners. What would you say is the most important message or benefit that you can give to your customers or your clients or your niche? What's the best piece of advice that you've got right now?
I mean, I think the biggest piece of advice is don't be satisfied. You know, for too long, we have been satisfied with whatever the high street banks give us.
Yeah.
There are tons of lots of other options now. So if you're looking for a loan, for example, don't go to one place, do your research, get online, find out all the ways that you could potentially get a loan or get that money through other forms. If you're looking for a high interest on your savings, which is going to be critical during this time of economic downfall, you're not going to get that through bonds and through traditional methods of having, you know, safer returns. You're going to have to go slightly more risk, but understand those risks and get to know the people or the company that is managing that for you to the best extent you can. Because at the end of the day, these are all managed by people and you can talk to them.
Yeah, they're accessible more than ever. So, Rupert, thanks again for all of that. If any of our listeners today want to find out a bit more about yourself or Pink and what you guys do, where can we direct them? Where should they go?
Sure. So pink.io. So that's pynk.io is our web address. We'd love you all to sign up, join, become part of the community, learn what we're doing and help us make a better financial system for the rest of the world.
Great, great, exciting stuff. And finally, it's a tradition at Rockstar, Rupert, to ask our guests, if you had to pick a Rockstar person or music anthem, what music track would you pick that best resembles you, Pink, your culture or your brand, and why would you choose it?
That's a good question. And the one that absolutely jumps to mind is Rage Against the Machine, and it's a track called Sleep Now in the Fire. And the reason why, if you watch the music video for this, they actually recorded the video in front of the New York Stock Exchange without any permissions at all, and they caused such a ruckus that it crushed the New York Stock Exchange, stopped it for a whole day's worth of trading. Wow. And that sort of rebellion and that sort of rebelliousness is growing. We can see that in the Extinction Rebellion, and that fire burns in us here at Pink, and it burns in many of our the people that support us. So we I don't know if we want to necessarily stop the New York Stock Exchange, but we do definitely want change
yeah.
big sweeping change throughout the financial industry.
Well, you're certainly making a mark, and that's a great choice, a brilliant idea. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining Rockstar FinTechland podcast series. You've been an absolute rock star, Rupert, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Thank you.